It's 88.5 KCSN. I'm Sky Daniels, and it is a true pleasure to have Kathleen Edwards here. Welcome, Kathleen.
Thank you. Hi.
I am. I'll get this out of the way right up front. And
okay.
No. I'm not going where you think you're going.
I have no idea where you're going.
Well, that's, and you probably won't by the end of our conversation either. But that's all part of the fun. I honestly named your album one of my top five albums of last year because you clearly went into making that record. And we've been a fan, you know, going back to Failure and watching you, you know, work hard. You've worked hard, for, you know, certainly in Canada and in the United States, and we'll talk about that. But after 10 years... you made that rare, bold choice of saying, you know what, I'm not going to work in a context. I'm not going to work in a certain set of expectations. I'm going to get outside of it. And it was a pretty strong assertion of your sense of, you know what, it's time to grow and expand. Talk to me about what came into your heart and said, you know what, after 10 years, I've got a good thing going, but there's more.
Oh, I think what happened was I felt like I did it already a few times over. And when I looked around at the people who I considered to be my contemporaries or my peers, people like John Roderick from the Long Winters.
Right.
Bands like Band of Horses. I mean, I could name a million acts, whatever. You know.
Did the Toronto scene play into any of that? Were there bands in the Toronto scene that also were making you see, you know, some different colors that you might want to apply?
I really kind of missed the whole Toronto and Montreal explosion because I sort of got taken away out of Canada or started touring right at the beginning of all that happening. And so right. I sort of felt a little outside of it, to be honest. Like Failure came out in 2002, 2003. And, you know, that was sort of the year that Arcade Fire started taking off and
literally and went somewhere else.
Yeah. I'd say my trajectory was a little smaller, but I was gone, you know, and I didn't really feel like I was part of that community, even though I enjoyed watching it happen. Mm-hmm. And then I looked around, I was like, wow, I'm really part of this, the Americana Music Association and like embraced me so lovingly. And so I was always so blown away, like to go and do stuff where Jim Lauderdale's talking to me and Kris Kristofferson and
right.
I'm like, oh my God. But I looked around, I'm like, well, where are all the people my age
right.
playing music? Like
right.
not as an ageist thing, just as I thought I fit in with people my age and looking around going, I feel kind of on the outside of it. And yet I look at them and go, well, they're my contemporaries and I'm not really considered to be. So, and I realized I kind of hadn't fulfilled the best expression on a record of who I see myself as musically, which is somebody who really loves pop music and I love indie rock and I love like really crunchy, nasty guitars, and I also really love, you know, synth pop. So
you love our radio station, by the way.
Yeah, well,
just listen while you're here and you'll see why I'm saying that.
That's cool. So I guess I just kind of decided it was time to really focus hard on, okay, how if this was the last record I wanted to make, how, like, make a record that you think is the best expression of who you see yourself
a
as.
Now record.
Yeah.
A record that well, not even just a now record, but a looking forward record. You know, like a regeneration of sorts, yes?
I think so, yeah. This is Empty Threat.
Hottest days of the summer brought us here together, you know it's true. But this cold heart's getting warmer. Maybe come September I will feel brand new. I'm moving to America, moving to America, moving to America, it's an empty threat. In a city I once said never, I'm learning to say never, never. Never ever. Cause now I'm speed of power. I'm booming through the concrete cracks of this condo tower. I'm moving to America. Moving to America. Moving to America. It's an empty threat. I'm moving to America. To America, moving to America, it's an empty threat. Cause over the course of hours, my bike met a thunder shower, and I hit my head till it bled. I pressed reset, goddammit. To America, moving to America, it's an empty threat. I'm moving to America, moving to America, moving to America, it's an empty threat.
You just happened to run into someone who collaborated with you on Voyager and helped you fully realize your ideas in Justin.
Yeah.
But even Justin has said that you came in with these ideas and you know, your passion was evident and he just, I guess, understood him. Is that a safe way of kind of saying how that connection was made on the production level?
Yeah, and it was really helpful to be having that dialogue with somebody who knew my catalog really well, like knew it very intimately. And that part really was so, it was so easy to trust him with helping me finish sentences when we would be talking about music. You know, like, I really want to do this. Oh, I can see how, you know, I would listen to your records and in my mind, I was thinking about how cool it would be if you tried this or tried that. And when he said that, they were things that I wanted to do on this record. So it was a really natural.
That had to be exciting.
Yeah, it was pretty. It was, yeah, really. It was really exciting.
When you find that artistic kindred spirit, and as you said, can finish your sentences and coincidentally, you know, totally gets things you're hearing in your head, because that's something that artists oft struggled with, and there's been many a tome written about, you know, driven artists that hear it in their head but they just can't exactly get it out, and when you find that it's working, it must have been an exhilarating recording session, was it not?
I mean, it was it was the hardest and most frustrating one, because there was so much trial and error. You know, I would try stuff, and sometimes the idea of sound is not something you can articulate. Right. You know, it's like, well, let's try this instrument and we'll run it through this and we'll blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's verbally articulating a sound idea. But when it comes to sort of being at the end process of it, it's really impossible to pinpoint exactly what it is. And it was exhilarating to have somebody appreciate that, you know, and really encourage the trial and error process, where I would go to Wisconsin and work on ideas and he would take what I had done in, say, Toronto and mess around with it a little bit and come up with great new sounds and approaches or stuff that was there and just kind of flip it on its head. And suddenly it was like, yes, check that box off. I'm pretty happy about that. And then to be able to go back to Toronto and do the same on my own, you know.
There's a song called The Soft Place to Land. Calling it quits, you think this is easy, 'cause I swear I heard you called in the jury. Call it a catch without any strings attached, 'cause I'm looking for a soft place to land, the forest floor, the palms of your hands. I'm looking for a soft place to
I feel really lucky because there are so many bands who go in the studio and they're like, well, we have a budget for 2 weeks or 2 days or something.
Right.
And, you know, it was one of the gifts of meeting Justin Vernon of like, here's my home studio. Let's just get it right.
When it's soup, it's soup. There also were, you mentioned peers. Apparently, some of the artists and some of the artists either you did know and others you perhaps didn't know from contemporary scenes, Megaphone and others, Norah Jones, came into the record. Did that help in the, well, if I'm going to do something different, it couldn't hurt to have some people that are coming from like-minded places, even though I haven't worked with them. Was that productive in having them join the process?
Yeah, it's kind of like the icing on the cake. You know, it's really hard to know who you're going to ask to play on the records, say like a guest vocalist, like Norah Jones. I had a British band called Stornoway sing some backup vocals. Francis and the Lights, New York-based artist. Those don't really come together until quite late, once you've sort of really gotten your foundation and your house is you know, it's framed. And but someone like Phil Cook from Megaphone played a lot of keyboards, and that was really, pardon the pun, instrumental in actually shaping some directions. And there were a lot of people who contributed ideas, like my bandmate Jim Bryson, my bandmate Gord Tuff, guitar players, and they threw out ideas that really helped shape the direction. And for sure, it's you know, you just go for stuff and see what happens. You throw stuff up against the wall, and there it is.
You do have a tremendous band. I mean, watching, you know, not to patronize, I already started out the conversation with some strong patronization. I can't top that. I mean, top five. I mean, I can't
keep it coming.
Okay. If you'll flatter you, we'll keep going. The band in our performance space today, there was an intimacy and I felt the connectivity amongst the musicians. And when we are fortunate in this, what is a very intimate setting, to really see collaboration and I don't want to say comfort, but a real sense of unity. It was apparent in there, and as we're doing these recordings today. I mean, it's a tremendous band.
They make me look really good.
Yeah.
And we go way back, you know, like Jim and Gord, who play in my band. I mean, Jim was the first guy I ever sang with as like a harmony singer from Ottawa, and he's been my right-hand guy for a long time. Gord Tuff was my first like guitar player besides Jim, and I mean, that was over 10 years ago, and he had a young family and he couldn't tour, so he's only just come back into the fold, but there's a history there. Yeah. And I mean, they're incredible musicians. Like, I mean, there are a lot of really great people playing music these days, and I don't take it for granted. They make it a really fun.
And also, I'm sure, you know, when I got here early this morning and saw that the bus was outside, and I was reminded, oh yeah, life on the road. I'm sure it doesn't hurt to have those kind of lifelong relationships with you, because it is like bringing some part of home on the road with you. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, touring is a lot of fun. Touring is really hard. It's a grind, and it's like camping all the time, except, you know, at night, usually you get to go into a tent and it's peaceful and quiet, and you get to jump in the lake in the morning. And here, you know, you wake up and you get to, thank God there's like a porta potty in your bus, basically.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. It's not always awesome. This is a song called Feeling Yourself Disintegrate.
Love in our life, just too valuable, all to feel. For even a second without.
Tonight, the El Rey.
Yeah.
And there are tickets available, and hopefully you're hearing it come from Kathleen's heart. You should hear it come from her full personage. You've heard songs today in the intimate confines of our KCSN studios. I truly encourage you to see her tonight at the El Rey and also at the Ventura Theater on Thursday night, which is a beautiful theater.
Heard.
And I think I'll probably come to that show.
Cool.
But everyone out there, You know, we've been talking about Kathleen and his spouse and Voyager. Hold us accountable and stop by and see Kathleen if you can, and let us know if we know what we're talking about. One last question. I'm going to ask.
Don't CC me on that email.
I'm going to ask one question about Justin. Have you touched his Grammys?
God, thanks. Have I touched his Grammy? I've touched a lot of things. I haven't touched his Grammy.
Okay.
He shaved his beard off the other day, and I haven't seen him in a couple weeks because I was on tour in Europe, and he was on tour in Australia, and he shaved his beard, and the first time I saw him, I'm like, who is this alien man that I'm currently hanging out with? Who's that? What face is that I'm supposed to kiss? I don't know. I don't know what that face is. I don't know what that
is. See, I was going to keep all that stuff out of it. I just wanted to know if you touched
you
want to practice. You want to say, this is what it feels like to hold a Grammy.
Well, at least I got to hold one in my lifetime, right? Well,
we're going to get your year on.
Whatever.
Let's make this the year that hopefully
the year that I held Justin's Grammy
and yours, you know, bookends. We need bookends.
It's funny.
Well, thank you for coming by and know that everything that was said today, while sometimes was jocular, it's meant. Really love the album. Love the album. The album continues. It's one of those records that I put in, and I don't know, at this stage of life when you've heard everything and you. Everything, you know, you go in my office and see the 1,000 CDs. When certain records touch you and stay in my changer in my car, I hope that the audience appreciates that anything I say about it's coming from the heart. And I hope you appreciate that too, because it is. We really appreciate your music and you.
That's so kind. Thank you. It means a lot. It really does.
You know, in my heart, you can't go wrong. With the purity of what you're doing. Well, Kathleen Edwards, thank you for stopping by 88.5 KCSN.